You ready for the word? Is our preacher ready?
God is encouraging us today. Amen. Praise God. Just want to read from that Psalm 40 that was read at the start of the afternoon. Verse 8 says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart. My title today is The Law of Freedom.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. We hear a lot about laws, a lot about people breaking laws. Laws are all around us. Well, we're thinking, not very often do I think about the law in my living. I don't really take much notice because I live away from the edge. I think if you live on the edge of the law or over the edge, then you'll probably think a lot more about the law than we do. In Timothy chapter 1 verse 8 and 9, it tells us something about the law. Timothy's, if you've got the Bible, Timothy's towards the back of your Bible. I think it's 1 Timothy. I didn't put it to there. I think it's 1 Timothy. Verse 8 in 1 Timothy chapter 1 says, but we know that the law is good, if one uses it lawfully.
Yeah.
The law is a good thing. Without law, we'd have anarchy. Yeah. Things would be very bad because of the lawless person.
Yeah.
So the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Realizing the fact that law is not made for a righteous man, but for those who are lawless. The law is not made for the ones that obey the law.
No.
The law is made for the ones that don't obey.
Yeah.
I wonder what it sort of conjures up in your mind when you said the word law. I mean, in this country, we've got all sorts of laws. We've got what they call statute law. We've got civil law. We've got all sorts of relationship laws. So there's a lot of laws. If you were counting how many laws you'd to abide in a day, there must be hundreds just in a day. But we don't consciously think about them. The thing about the law is, though, it doesn't solve problems.
No.
It doesn't solve problems. In Hebrews chapter 7 verse 19 it says, for the law has made nothing perfect.
No.
The law isn't there to make things perfect. The law is there to stop the imperfect.
Yeah.
Rather than to make things perfect. But when we think about law, we think in the modern terminology of law. Now the Bible talks quite a lot about the word law. It covers it quite a lot. In the Old Testament, in like Exodus and Deuteronomy, were called the books of the law, where the laws and rules and regulations were established.
Yeah.
If you took this country back into history, the laws and the church and the lawmaking was all like one entity. If you go back to when Moses was the leader of Israel, he was the spiritual leader. And he was also the political leader. It was all wrapped up in one.
Amen.
Now, somewhere along the journey, we in the West somehow, we've split the church away from the lawmaking.
Yeah.
And the lawmakers have gone down their own path. Mm. So we're getting some quite dubious laws.
Yeah.
Because they're making laws that are not based on the Word of God.
That's right.
Yeah. So the church was intertwined with the law. You couldn't separate the two. Our foundation laws are God's laws.
Yeah.
American, I think they have it in their statement of their what do they call it? Their national statement of what do they call it? The Constitution, sorry, yeah. They have it in their constitution. So somewhere on the line we've missed the turning as a nation and as a society about lawmaking. But Jesus had something to say about the law. Now, there is a scripture that we tend to perhaps misquote a little bit, that Jesus didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it.
Yeah.
But that's an incomplete statement. Because if you look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "Do you think I came to abolish the law or the prophets?" It says, "I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill." He was talking in part about the laws that were laid down in the Old Testament and the prophets who prophesied of the conditions, the circumstances, what would happen with the coming of the Messiah. So he was fulfilling both of those things, what the Lord laid down and the conditions that were put on by the prophets to the coming Messiah. The law was in effect a shadow of God's laws, because they dealt with specific things. We know about the Ten Commandments and things, but I mean, we know that Jesus came and he wrapped them up into two laws. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbour as yourself. The religious people that were around in Jesus' time, they didn't like Jesus. They didn't like him one little bit. Because he rattled the establishment. He rattled the established church. Because the church was full of legalism.
Yeah.
It lived and leant and relied on the laws to such an extent that they banned people from doing anything on the Sabbath. Now, okay, well, it's a day of rest, but there was, I think one example, because if your donkey had fallen into a pit, wouldn't you pull it out? Because he'd healed a man on the Sabbath day. And the religious people said, "Oh, that's wrong. You were doing something on the Sabbath. You shouldn't do it. You should be still." But so they got so locked up in the law. But Jesus didn't come to continue to wrap us up in a law that constrained us, that was a head law. He wanted to put his own nature,
Amen.
His own spirit, his own purpose in us.
Yeah.
And he didn't. He hasn't come that way. He's come that way.
Amen.
Because he wanted it to be in our hearts.
Amen.
When we live our lives, and we're saying that the true Christian, the true believer, is the best person in their society, because they work, they love, and they care. And they're loyal.
Yeah.
All those things you want in a society.
Yeah.
But you see, the word love, we've confused that word. Mm-hmm. We've confused that. You can get it from anything, from loving someone, to loving a Mars bar, to loving a football team, to it's lost its power. You have to go back to the original agape love to see where Jesus is coming from when he talks about love. Now, the people before Jesus came were locked in a legalistic religion because they had to obey so many things, yet they couldn't. So there must have been a sense of failure throughout the church that they couldn't live up to what the law was demanding of them. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "It was for freedom that Christ has set us free." If he set us, how has he come? How has he come and set us free? How has he come and made us free? The laws haven't disappeared because we said if there were no laws, it would be anarchy. But he's given us freedom within the context of the law. How has he done that? How has he managed that? Because it says in that same verse, it says, therefore keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery.
Yeah.
They were slaves to the law.
Yeah.
Now if you abandon law and you do your own thing, that's just as bad, isn't it?
Yeah.
You lose all control.
Yeah.
That's just as bad as having a rigid law that you have to dot every little bit of the letter. But when Jesus came, something tremendous happened. Something happened that had never happened in history before. Suddenly, he's come with a new message. A message of freedom. He says, I've come to set the captives free.
Amen.
From what? Well, he's come to set them free from sin. How's he going to do it? How is he going to set a whole society free from all the religious laws, all the paraphernalia that they had to do to come to just come near to God? He gave himself to such an extent that he became the vehicle for us to come to God. He gave himself completely. We can't understand how that could happen. The Son of God comes down and gives himself completely for us. And he's given himself for us that we might have the freedom that he's talking about. Now, we have a different concept again when we talk about freedom. Do anything I like. Well, yeah, in a sense it is. But to get that freedom, something has to happen.
Yeah.
We have to come to him in faith.
Amen.
We have to come to him to believe him, believe in him. He then imparts something to us. He then puts something into us that the world can't give, the rules and regulations can't give, or the laws can't give.
Yeah.
He puts his nature inside of us.
Amen.
And as soon as he does that, we see everything from a different perspective. We no longer see all the rules and regs. We no longer see all the laws. Something tremendous has happened. We see things from a different light. The two things that Jesus wrapped up all the commandments in: love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love the neighbour. This is two things. Relationship with God. Relationship with each other.
Amen.
Everything is covered.
Yeah.
There's nothing else. But you can't do it from the head knowledge. It doesn't work from the head knowledge. The word love that he talks about is a tremendous, powerful word. It's called agape love. Agape love is something where the giver of that agape love does what the recipient needs.
Yeah.
It's not concerned with wants, it's concerned with needs. The best thing for that person. You have a love for each other, especially in a family relationship. And sometimes you'll do what you think is best for a person, and it turns out you've made a mess of it, because we were perhaps thinking in too low a level. When God comes with his agape love, he knows exactly what is best for you and your best for me. And he will give us the best. Sometimes we ask for things that aren't good for us. As children, we asked for things that I used to ask for pop. Pop isn't a good thing to drink on a regular basis. It doesn't do your teeth any good. So by 19 years old, I'd lost some teeth. All down to pop. My mother and dad loved me to bits.
Yeah.
They love me to bits. But they didn't know that pot was harmful. Dental health at that time wasn't as well known as it is now. Didn't have electric toothbrushes then. But it's our love is incomplete, but the agape love that Jesus is pouring out into your life and my life is a perfect love. Paul explains some of this new relationship. It's really grasping hold of who Jesus is and what he's done for you in your life, in bringing you into a new relationship, he talks about a new covenant.
Yeah.
He created a new covenant. Philippians chapter 3 verse 9, if you want to turn to that. Philippians chapter 3 verse 9 says, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ.
Amen.
You can't build your own righteousness by obeying the law, because you make mistakes. You'll stumble on the laws that exist somewhere along the line. So we can't rely on that. But through faith, you can have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You can have a direct line.
Yeah.
To the Lord Jesus Christ. Through faith. Faith is believing in him. You can't see him. But he's there. We've heard earlier somebody say that. He's there. He knows you every moment of every day. He's never off the scene. He's never off your case. You might be thinking that you're going through things alone. You're not. He's there. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. One of the thing that we stumble over time and time again is sin. Sin is whatever separates you from God. I can't tell you what sin is in your life. You will know. And God will know.
Yeah.
Romans chapter 6 verse 14 says, for sin shall not be master over you. Just turn to that, Romans chapter 6. Verse 14 says, for sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace.
Amen.
I've got a new word, grace. And it's not the name. She is grace. But yeah, God talks about his grace.
Amen.
His grace is sufficient for each one of us. You know, the law, in all its rules and regs, has one thing absent from it. Mercy.
Yeah.
It's sterile.
Yeah.
Right, wrong. Right, wrong.
Yeah.
And that's it. And the punishment is X. All right, the judges vary a bit, but the law is there and it's fixed.
Yeah.
You break the law, you get the penalty.
Yeah.
And the law has a long memory.
Yeah, sure.
The law does not forget. But we're not under the law, we're under grace. The grace of God. It says, what then? Shall we sin?
No.
Because we are not under law, but under grace?
No.
See, that's anarchy again. Talking about no laws. May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to the one you obey? This is why we need to cling to God in such a way that we never let go. No matter what we're going through, no matter what situation we're going through, what emotional issues we're going through, don't let go of the Lord. He is our deliverer. He is the one that's going to show us mercy. He is going to the one that takes us into His grace. Because it says in that same verse, it says, sin results in death, but obedience results in righteousness.
God
will always bring us into His righteousness. You see, the wonderful thing about God is He has got mercy.
Yes.
And He doesn't have a list of, oh yeah, He's done this, 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 and this, and this. Wait while I catch Him. No, you've come to Him in humble surrender. You've surrendered to God. And God says, that's gone.
Amen.
That's gone. You've got a clean sheet. Let's start again. And the thing He says to, He uses a parable, really, about how many times somebody came, how many times do I have to forgive? Up to 7 times 7? No, He says, no. 70 times 7. In other words, always have forgiveness there. He never lets it go. Never lets forgiveness go. He lets the offence go, but He never lets forgiveness go. That is always there for you and for me. Verse 17 says, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart. See, this is where it's all happening. This is the, you can go to Bible college and be intellectual, but unless it gets down here,
yeah,
it misses the target.
Yeah.
It's who you are that has to be engulfed in who God is. Not just mental assent. We have to be obedient from the heart. The wonderful thing about God is that He knows every detail of us. Yet He still loves us. He still loves me. All my faults and failings. You know, all 3 or 4 of them. Or 300,000 or 400,000. But yeah, He loves us regardless. He's got hold of us and He does not want to let us go. And the love that He's got hold of us with is the agape love. The thing that the love that wants the best for us. He never wants to let us go.
Amen.
And He wants us to prosper. He wants to bless us. He wants to encourage us and strengthen us. How wonderful is that? You know, I mean, our closest friend cannot do all that. But He sticks closer than even any brother could. He's got hold of us. Another thing that Paul explains in Galatians. You're a clever person, Paul. He could put things into words that were actually difficult to get across. Galatians chapter 3, verse 23. It says, but before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law. You know, sometimes we can read these verses and not really realize what they're saying. If you were kept in custody under the law, it means you were locked up, you were imprisoned by the law.
Yeah.
When you think, you live in society today, and we don't knowingly break the law, but all the width of the law, in some way, we probably do break some law at some times. If you exceed 30 mile an hour in 30 limit, you've broken the law. You know, so there's all sorts of things that we do break. He says, before faith came in, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which was later to be revealed. Thank the Lord that faith has been revealed to us. To this generation, faith has been revealed. Hallelujah. Praise God. It says, therefore the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ. You think, has faith been a training ground? Faith has been the training ground to bring us to the Lord, to Jesus. And that we may be justified by faith. I think in Romans it talks about being justified by faith. We are justified by faith. Our trust in the Lord is our passport into His grace. It opens the door into His grace. How wonderful. It says in verse 25, it says, but now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. The law was the training ground. The law really is just a shadow. It was really to train us in the first place. You know, if you go back to the Garden of Eden, the laws were very simple. You know, don't do this, don't do that, and that's it. And that, you know, it was a living fellowship with man and God. In that situation. But when sin came in, things went sour. So then it created a whole realm of laws, trying to get back to that perfect place. Yeah. And it couldn't do it. It couldn't do it. Yeah, that Romans 5 verse 1 said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Faith brings us into peace. Yeah. The law can't bring you into peace. They say that if you live in a neighbourhood that's a bit volatile, the fact that the laws are in place doesn't necessarily give you peace. Yeah. But God's brought us into peace. That's where He wants us to live our lives, yeah, in peace. God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into His grace. Been introduced by our faith has brought us into His grace. Our faith, our belief in Him, our trust in Him, our obedience to Him has brought us into His grace. How wonderful. Jesus unlocked the door for us. The door was shut. If you think you were living in the old days of the scribes and the Pharisees and all the religious things and bringing doves as offerings and things like that, we've got away from all that. I mean, that doesn't mean that we haven't got laws. But the laws are through the Spirit. If you've got rules and regulations in your home for your child, unless your child follows the spirit of the law, it will break the law or the rules that you set. It's only when a child realizes the importance of the rule will they start to obey it. Self gets in the way. We're all the same. We run with what we want to do. And sometimes the law gets in the way. And we stop. But sometimes we don't. How do you stop a child from putting its hand in the fire? You say no. But if it persists, then you might have to smack its hand to give it the shock. It says no, because that was a lesser thing than burning the hand. So we have that same principle. God loves us so much that he will teach us continually his nature, his spirit, his ways. He wants to encourage us all the time. We're not lost sheep wandering about. John chapter 1 verse 17 said, "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ." Amen. The days of Moses, a person would have been struggling just to come freely to God, because they wouldn't know what vehicle to come in. The Jews are the priest. And they do it that way. That had brought sin offerings and things like that. But it never did the job. When Jesus died on the cross, it says the curtains of the sanctuary were ripped in two. Because beyond the curtains was the Holy of Holy, where only the priest could go. So Jesus, he tore the curtains at his death to give us access into that Holy of Holies. You don't have to go to a priest to get to God. You don't even have to go to a minister to get to God. You can go direct through Jesus Christ. He's the high priest now. You can talk to the Father direct. All those things that weigh you down, all those issues that you want answers for, you can go straight to him. You can go straight to him. I know some churches have like confessionals and things like that. You can go straight to him. What he's going to look at is your heart. He's going to see the genuineness of your repentance, the genuineness of your faith. He's going to see that. Sometimes we try and fit it together with works by, we can do a lot of good things and that might get us there, but no. Galatians 5 verse 6 says, "For in Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love." Yeah. That's how it operates. That's how faith working through love. You can't have faith on its own. It won't stand on its own. You can have faith to remove mountain, it says, but if you haven't got love, it don't profit you anything. But faith has to work through that agape love. You turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. "Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God." Everything that we draw from in our life is from God. Everything good is from God. When it said adequacy, it's everything we need, emotionally, spiritually, even materially. Everything that we need comes from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not by the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. This is again, the law is a killer. But the Spirit of God gives life to you and me. It's the tangible thing in our lives that we can grasp hold of. The Spirit of God. In every situation we're going through, everything that we need is in this Spirit. Somebody once said, if you tell me anything that you're in need of, I'll tell you the answer. Jesus. Yeah. Everything you need, the answer's Jesus. So the law, that moves from a head knowledge. Rules and regs of right and wrong and what you should and shouldn't be. But the Spirit of God moves in faith by grace. in love and mercy. And it's heart and spirit foundation. It comes from right within the centre of us. That is the connection we need with God. A religious connection isn't enough. It has to be a total, full relationship connection. Psalm 37, verse 30 says, "The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of God is in his heart, and his steps do not slip." Amen. If you've got the law of God in your heart, and that's not a list of rules and regulations, that is the Spirit of God, because that's how you will determine right from wrong, and what to do and what not to do. You know, sin can be a sin of omission as well as a sin of commission. But when you walk in God, he'll tell you what you need to do as well as what you need not to do. So we've come to Jesus, and he's our sustenance, he's our encouragement, and he's our leader and deliverer. In Galatians chapter 5 verse 14 it says, "For the law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbour as yourself." Amen. We can't get away from that.
Yeah.
We can't live in isolation in a society. That's not God's way. We interreact in all sorts of ways. And I know all of us at some time must have let our neighbours down in some way or other. But remember what he said about, who is my neighbour? It's not the person next door just. It's the person that is on the other side of the fence. You know, it was the Samaritan was a foreigner that the Jews had no dealings with. It was the Samaritan that did the good deed. The Jews took another way around to avoid. Your neighbour might be someone that needs you to do God's will. But it might not be the person that you think it is. It might be someone that you would not normally relate to. But God's got it all in hand. You know, you can bless the Muslim. You can bless the down and out. You can bless the foreigner. There's all sorts of things that are wrapped up in God's righteousness, God's love. But Romans chapter 13 tells us to do no wrong to a neighbour. Love, therefore, is the fulfilment of the law. That's what it's saying. If we don't grasp hold of our relationship with God, we can't really love our neighbour. We can't really love anybody else. But we have to absorb the Spirit of Christ into our heart. And that brings true freedom and obedience. That's the way we get the freedom. When God talks about freedom, he's not talking about lawlessness or anarchy and doing our own thing. He's talking about us getting so wrapped up in him that everything we do flows as his nature flows. And it blows the minds, really, that God can get hold of us in such a way that it can bypass our minds and go straight to our spirit and get us moving forward and encourage us to live in him. When you talk to people in the world who can't grasp hold of this, they struggle because they're trying to think it through with their intellect and they can't grasp hold of it. It's a spiritual connection with God. I've tried to explain this sometimes, that people that are the locked in a circumstance of homelessness or an reliance on drugs and drink and that, and they're going in a circle day by day. And you want to see them break out of that circle, because all they can see is that one little thing. And I says, if you can reach out to God, if you can just reach out to Him, He'll come to you. And the decisions that you're making that's keeping you in that circle going round and round, I says, when you start looking to God, He'll start initiating in you some different decisions. And those decisions will take you out of going round in that circle. But at the time when they're in that, that is their world. And they can't see beyond that. But when they do break free, suddenly they find life. And not like they've had it before, where they've relied on drugs and things like that. They've found a life that's given them such a tremendous buzz and purpose that they never thought it was possible. But you see that the love, the agape love, is so strong and so powerful. But it's not a wimpish thing. We've got such a distorted view of the word love. Agape love is not a sentimental wimpish thing.
No.
It's powerful.
Amen.
It's strong enough to cause us to stand firm.
Yeah.
It's strong enough to cause us to endure. It's strong enough to cause us to resist the devil.
Amen.
Strong enough to cause us to put others first. And it's strong enough to cause us to say no to sin.
Yeah.
But it all comes from the faith in our Lord Jesus and entering into His grace. That's where it all happens. You can do all the academic things you like to do, but that is the key. That's the key relationship. If we get hold of that, everything else comes. There's a thing in Philippians chapter 3 where Paul sets out a few things. And the heading over that chapter is the goal of life. I suggest you read that at some time. Philippians chapter 3. It's headed the goal of life in my Bible. God is wonderful.
Yes.
He's patient and He's merciful and He loves us. And He wants a relationship with us for our good, for your good. And like the person that's been going in the same circle again and again and again and not knowing how he could break free, God just gets hold of you and takes you out of that circle. And suddenly you can see, it's like going up onto the top of the hill. So suddenly you can see this vast vista. You were in the valley and all you could see were hills before. You go up onto the top and you see for miles. You see all there is. That's what God wants for each one of us.
Yeah.
Wants to get that vista, get that vision for your life. One of the things it says, without the vision the people perish. If you don't get hold of the vision of God in your life, you'll not perish.
No.
You'll have real life. He says, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly or to the full. You want abundant life? You want a full life? Reach out to God. Reach out through Jesus in faith today and grasp hold of who He is. Let Him control you, get control of your life. And you'll find out what the law of freedom is. You'll come into such a freedom that God is really the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Yes.
You know, we've sung this afternoon some real good words. But unless you get them in here, they're just words. Get the experience. Get the experience of knowing Him. Amen.